The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Around Columbine, and things have only gotten worse ever since. What happened on Sunday night was just unconscionable, unbelievable, but sadly believable, because this is the country we live in. Her name is Cheryl Wheeler, by the way. The song is If It Were Up to Me. And I don't need some gun person calling up and saying, that's ridiculous. This song always engenders a lot of mixed feelings. If it were up to me, I would take away the guns. That's not happening. It didn't happen under Obama, right? He never took away your guns. And now that Trump is in office, gun sales are down because people aren't afraid that Trump is going to come and take away their guns. Sadly, he won't. There is one iota of a silver lining on this horrible black cloud, and that is that the vote that was supposed to come up this week for to make it easier to buy silencers has been shelved indefinitely. So there's that. Someone's on the phone. Hi, who's this?
This is Jason in Simi Valley.
And I know today's going to be a rough show for you, even through Lappy's on, because there's just been so much tragedy. And a couple things I wanted to say was, I'm with you to the end, girl. I listen. I enjoy it. I am puzzled. May I ask a question?
Sure.
I've noticed today that they've moved your show from the slot on the RV app.
The PV app.
Progressive Voices.
Right.
Yes, and I don't see the show anywhere on the app today.
Oh, we're on at 6 o'clock. 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific.
You might want to check, because I'm not seeing it, or maybe I'm blind.
It's on the schedule. I follow Randy Rhodes now. Instead of coming on before her, I'm on after her.
I'd like you before her. But I want to say, as somebody who's been with listening to you a long time, don't always agree with you, but I want to tell you, I know you have strength to be on today with this tragic circumstance. And as somebody, I grew up around guns. I have a healthy respect for guns. I don't own a gun because I was in a long-term relationship for many years. And if I had a weapon in my home, we wouldn't be talking, because I have a feeling I would be pushing up the daisies. I want everyone to understand that guns are tools, and that everybody in this country should remember one fact, whoever calls you about guns, that unless I'm seriously mistaken, the biggest chance you have of being a victim of gun violence is in your own home during domestic dispute with your own weapon.
That's true.
And that and cops will tell you of the two things they hate. Number one is that. Number two are traffic stops, because those are the two most dangerous things that can happen to them. I believe that this is madness, and that the NRA's bloodlust and support of the gun industry is... Wayne LaPierre will find a special place in the ninth circle of hell someday.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw this, and we're not seeing the done with it. Just so everyone's clear, the people who were wounded with the bullets from this weapon will have severe medical complications in some cases that will cost them their lives.
Oh, yes.
And the body count is more than likely to go up. And I think the other thing we have to take into account is why this guy did it, which is certainly well worth knowing, whether it was a brain tumor, perhaps, or whatever. We need to know that. But at the end of the day, anybody who calls you and says, oh, it's great that he had all those guns, that's right, we're not on broadcast, so they can just shut the fuck up, you idiot. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, I will tell you, as someone who grew up around guns, there's only one weapon I would ever have in my home, only one. And that would be a pump-action shotgun, for the simple reason it's one of the most intimidating weapons in the world, because when you hear a pump-action shotgun cock, you can be my size, you can be your size, that person is going to get the message to turn into a statue. And I'm just saying, right now, anybody who needs 30 bullets in a clip to shoot, that's a pretty...
See, no, they would yell at you.
They'd
yell at you for that, because it's a magazine, not a clip. You see, the gun people think if we don't know the proper vernacular for the gun terminology, that takes away our right to talk about guns.
You know what the analogy is to that, when you shoot right back at them? And this is going to sound stupid to you probably. Oh, that's kind of like the difference between a trekker and a trekkie.
I guess. Yeah, right.
People in the audience will know what I mean. But the point is, you guys, I'm sorry, they, you know, clips, magazine, whatever. We don't need magazines, hello.
That's right.
It is just ridiculous. And just for the record, when you actually look at the studies, even cops will tell you that, you know, when you in a firefight, which this was for all intents and purposes, it's chaos. I mean, it just fills me with sadness, and I know as we go through the course of the day, we'll be hearing more about it. I also just want to tell you, as somebody who's been listening to this, is Lappy on today?
She is.
Oh, please, let's have Lappy. We need to. I'm not just trying to ignore it, but we need a little lightning up here.
Yes, we do.
Just a smidge so we can survive.
Yep.
I love Tuesdays with Lappy, and
well,
I love Tuesdays with you. And I wish you the very best.
Well, thank you. And thank you for calling. I appreciate it. And thanks a lot. And as he alluded, yes, today is our first day where on Progressive Voices, we've moved to 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Instead of leading into Randy Rhodes, we follow Randy Rhodes. But as you can tell, we're still on live here at 3 p.m. Eastern at NicoleSandler.com/listen-live. That's where you can get us. You can get us on my TuneIn channel, the 24/7 stream. So, you know, same as it ever was. But on the Progressive Voices app and network, just a few hours tape delayed. Or you can always listen to the podcast whenever you want. All right. Well, as he said, we've got Laffy coming up. So let's check in with the latest news. Actually, today's What's News, you'll hear, has a different take on the shooting tragedy. Tragedy somehow doesn't seem enough. That's not a serious enough word, but it's all I've got on the senseless shooting deaths of 59 people that happened Sunday night in Las Vegas. And then back with Gotta Laugh next. Oh, it would help if I turned it up. Here we go.
I read the news today. Oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Las Vegas was the scene of the worst mass shooting in American history Sunday night, as a lone gunman armed with an arsenal of weapons opened fire on 22,000 people at a concert from 32 floors above, shooting from his hotel window, killing at least 59 people and injuring over 500. There's nothing remotely funny in the situation, but late-night TV comedians had a lot to say. Stephen Colbert.
Terrible things happen in the world. Sometimes, like today, we feel they've risen to a new level, but we cannot accept that as a new normal. This afternoon, the president called this an act of pure evil, and I think he's right. So what then are we willing to do to combat pure evil? The answer can't be nothing. It can't. This time it was a concert in Las Vegas. Last time it was Republican congressmen and their staff under fire on a ball field. Last week, Representative Steve Scalise returned to the floor and was greeted with a bipartisan hero's welcome. It was the kind of moment that gives you hope that Congress might work together for the common good. And the bar is so low right now that Congress can be heroes by doing literally anything. Universal background checks, or come up with a better answer. Enforce Obama's executive order that denied mentally ill gun purchases, or a better answer. Reinstate the assault weapons ban, or come up with a better answer. Anything but nothing. Doing nothing is cowardice. Doing something will take courage. You want to make America great again? Do something the last two presidents haven't been able to do. Pass any kind of common sense gun control legislation that the vast majority of Americans want.
James Corden.
Last night was the biggest mass shooting in United States history. That's a record that's been set twice in just the 2.5 years that I've been living in America. Here's another statistic. 11,660 people have died from gun violence in the last 275 days in this country. Now, I come from a place where we don't have shootings at this frequency, so it's hard for me to fathom. But it should be hard for everyone to fathom. Gun violence should not be a staple of American life. Some say it's too early to talk about gun control. For those victims last night, it's far too late.
Jimmy Kimmel.
President Trump is visiting Las Vegas on Wednesday. He spoke this morning. He said he's praying for those who lost their lives. You know, in February, he also signed a bill that made it easier for people with severe mental illness to buy guns legally. The Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, the Speaker of the House Paul Ryan, a number of other lawmakers who won't do anything about this because the NRA has their balls in a money clip, also sent their thoughts and their prayers today. Which is good. They should be praying. They should be praying for God to forgive them for letting the gun lobby run this country, because it is it's so crazy. Right now, there are loopholes in the law that let people avoid background checks if they buy a gun privately from another party, if they buy a gun online or at a gun show. And these are the faces of the senators who, days after the shooting in Orlando, voted against a bill that would have closed those loopholes. Now, 90% of Democrats, I'm not talking about politicians here, I'm talking about people, and 77% of Republicans support background checks at gun shows. 89% of Republicans and Democrats are in favor of restricting gun ownership for the mentally ill. But not this gang. They voted against both of those things. So with all due respect, your thoughts and your prayers are insufficient. And by the way, the House of Representatives will be voting on a piece of legislation this week. It's a bill to legalize the sale of silencers for guns. This is what they're working on. We have a major problem with gun violence in this country, and I guess they don't care. And if I'm wrong on that, fine, do something about it, because I'm sick of it.
Trevor Noah.
What's been particularly heartbreaking is, other than the lives lost, is how I feel like people are becoming more accustomed to this type of news every single time. I almost know how it's going to play out. We're shocked. We're sad. Thoughts and prayers. And then almost on cue, people are going to come out saying, whatever you do when speaking about the shootings, don't talk about guns.
Talking about gun control and whether we need more restrictive laws, I just don't think that that's an appropriate time for this to be happening.
There's a time and place for a political debate, but now is the time to unite as a country.
This is not the time to be talking about guns. Sometimes I wish I had used this logic as a kid when I'd done something wrong. You know, my mom wanted to ground me. I should have just said, is this the time, Mom, that we politicize what's happening right now? This is not the time to talk about my lack of discipline. This is the time for us to unite as a family, to focus on the fact that I'm stuck in the kitchen window trying to sneak back in. Come on, Mom. This is not the time. When is the time? And also, if you say after a mass shooting is never the time, then you'll never have the conversation in America, because there's a mass shooting almost every single day. So when is the time? Think about it with everything else. When a plane crashes, we talk about plane safety immediately. When a bridge collapses, we talk about infrastructure immediately. We seem to do everything to avoid talking about guns. I've never been to a country where people are as afraid to speak about guns.
And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler for NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
This is a huge, huge issue.
And we're talking about it. The Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
If we ever needed to laugh, today is the day. Hello.
Oh God, I know. You breached the Trump needs a silencer hotline.
Yes.
Press 1 if you think Trump's thoughts and prayers to Las Vegas are about as genuine as his orange spray tan.
Yeah.
It's just vacant. Press 2 if you think Trump's support for fundamentalists is just his way of overcompensating for his tiny hands and microscopic penis. If he indeed has one.
Mm-hmm.
Press 3 if you think Trump saying to the NRA, you have a friend in the White House, was because he knew they'd be his only friend in the White House.
Yeah. Well, there's that. You know,
it was really hard to be funny when
yeah,
I wrote this yesterday.
I know. That's why I did that on What's News. There was not much funny when even, you know, the best comedians working on television today all go serious for a night. You know, there's good reason.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But I do wish, I mean, I realize they have to cover this thing, but when all they do is cover it, it drives me nuts.
Oh.
When all they do is interview people who are upset, you know, it, and they don't cover any other news, it drives me nuts.
It's murder porn. It's if you turn on MSNBC or CNN over the last, you know, 36 hours, that's mm-hmm. all you've seen. It's
right.
Like nothing else happened. I mean, thank God Trump went to Puerto Rico, so they actually, you know, pulled back from Vegas for 5 minutes to cover some of that insanity.
Right. And so you'll see in my tweet spot, I've got a zillion tweets on this gun stuff. But I also woke up this morning to see Trump in Puerto Rico, and I have a whole bunch more tweets about that. So you want to go for it?
Yeah, let's do it. We can go there right now.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
But you know, before we get started, I have a tweet that I want to read. Because something else happened. And it did, as if, you know, this shooting wasn't bad enough. We lost a giant in the music world this weekend as well. And so I'm going to read to you a tweet from Bruce Springsteen. It's actually three tweets.
Oh. Okay.
And Bruce tweeted out, "Down here on East Street, we're devastated and heartbroken over the death of Tom Petty. Our hearts go out to his family and bandmates. I've always felt a deep kinship with his music. A great songwriter and performer. Whenever we saw each other, it was like running into a long-lost friend, a long-lost brother. Our world would be a sadder place without him." And it's signed Bruce Springsteen. So that tweet came from him. If you're on YouTube, there's a picture of me with Tom Petty. I got to interview him once. And he was just, it's the only time I ever met him in person. Genuinely nice guy, down to earth, and just too young. He cardiac arrest. He was 66.
And real sudden. You know, that's when it really gets to people. You didn't see it coming.
Yeah, well, he just finished up a world tour, a 50-city tour. He had played the Hollywood Bowl, done three nights of the Hollywood Bowl just a few nights before, and I had heard from some friends of mine who were there what a great show it was. Just a shocker out of left field. No one expected this.
And then when they did the ping pong with us, the news ping pong, where he died, no, he didn't. Yes, he did.
Right.
No, he didn't. And then he's in intensive care. No, he isn't. Yes, he is. And then I woke up to the news this morning that he finally died. But oh God, I mean, everybody, Twitter went absolutely crazy. And it's just another thing in this list of bad things that we're going through. It's just horrible. Anyway. I wonder if Trump's criticized Las Vegas residents for not doing enough to help themselves yet.
No, because Las Vegas is Nevada is a Republican state, and I was going to say it's pretty white, but it's pretty Hispanic too. So
yeah.
You know, I'm sure he'll criticize some people in Vegas for not doing enough. But you know, hey, it was an audience of country music fans, so you know, overwhelmingly white, I'm sure.
Right. Well, yesterday Trump said, my warmest condolences, he tweeted this out, my warmest condolences and sympathies to the victims and families of the terrible, blah, blah, blah. And Adam Kahn said, you can bet that if the Las Vegas killer was a brown dude, just as what you were saying, Trump would have fired off half a dozen tweets about the need to be tough, vigilant, smart, which is about it. Now, you played a quote, I think it was from The Daily Show just now, where he was sort of explaining the usual sequence of events. You know, somebody goes out and kills a bunch of people, and then we all do thoughts and prayers and go on to the next thing. Well, Jamila Lemieux, a writer and speaker, said the following. She tweeted a little series here. She says, "Now that we've established that the alleged gunman was white and non-Muslim, here's a forecast for the week to come. Thoughts and prayers from folks who could act to prevent this sort of thing, but we'll instead work to ensure it happens again. Vague chatter about mental health that doesn't lead to any action other than further stigmatizing the mentally ill. Framing of, quote, lone wolf gunman who allegedly had an accomplice, a woman of color, that folks will look to, hoping for a real terror link. The president will make a mind-blowingly offensive and or tone-deaf comment about this tragedy, worse than warmest condolences. The national anthem at sports games will be used as a memorial, and any athlete who doesn't participate will be shamed as anti-American. And finally, America will continue to sacrifice white lives in order to uphold the institutions, guns, 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 designed to protect them from people of color."
Yeah.
She pretty much nailed it.
Yeah, very much so.
That's sick.
But as I did mention before, there was one thing that was done, that sort of one small silver lining in this otherwise very dark black storm cloud, which was they pulled the bill to sell silencers indefinitely.
Which should never have been introduced in
never.
The first place.
Right. And so hopefully that's gone. I have a feeling it's, you know, just gone for a short while. They'll sneak it back in at some point.
Yeah. When everybody settles down. I mean, but could you imagine if the shooter had a silencer, nobody would have realized where it was coming from. People would be dropping like flies and nobody would quite get what was happening for a while. And he could have killed hundreds of more people.
Yep. Oh, and with the arsenal that he had up in that hotel room, oh my God!
Yeah.
You know what? One thing I have this clip here. It's Trump. It was before he got on Marine One to go to Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Let me just play the clip. It's so mind blowing. The words that he uses, like my warmest sympathies. Like what? Who
yes,
says
what
that?
Is that? And then that will lead perfectly into that number three tweet that I have for you.
Yes. Okay. So he says this.
We have a tragedy. We're gonna do, and what happened in Las Vegas is in many ways a miracle. The police department has done such an incredible job.
It's so noisy, but he's saying what in many ways what happened was such a miracle.
Because a miracle.
The police department got there so quickly. No, a miracle would have been if nobody died. That would have been the miracle.
A miracle would have been if Congress would pass some laws.
No kidding.
That would be a miracle.
No kidding.
Good Lord. Anyway, Charlie Pierce said of was he Vanity Fair? I've forgotten now.
Charlie Pierce, Esquire.
He said, after hearing that little speech, he said, this is like being read a bedtime story by Dracula.
Well, I think he said that after Trump's words, you know, meant to comfort the nation, when it sounded like he was a preacher in church, because it was God this and God that, and scripture says.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yes,
right?
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. He did two things on Monday, yesterday.
Yeah.
The days are running together. First is, you know, he made his statement where he didn't veer off the teleprompter, but whoever wrote it was a little heavy-handed on the, you know, the Christianity. You know, this is not a Christian nation, people. There are citizens of a multitude of religions, but boy, he talked scripture and God and blessings and whatever. It was just like I mean, there's a way to be the comforter in chief, which he most certainly is not, without going all Christian, godly church stuff on us.
Oh, it was just disgusting. I know. You know, I usually come in late because, you know, being on the West Coast, like one speech has already been done and the next one's coming up. And so I tend to merge them in my head because they all sound equally stupid. Dan Hodges, a commentator, said, in retrospect, Sandy Hook marked the end of the U.S. gun control debate. Once America decided killing children was bearable, it was over.
You know, that's true. I remember those days so sadly, so as if it would just happened. And I remember thinking, if they do nothing after this, then it just shows that we're truly fucked as a nation, that they will never do anything about guns ever. And they did nothing, not one
thing. No, you, and you
thing.
Knew they would do nothing. Oh, by the way, on your point about the scripture and stuff, I'd like to read you, I don't know, it's like three sentences from an LA Times op-ed by Doyle McManus that sort of fits into this religious thing a little bit. He says, in his brief remarks Tuesday, Trump called the Las Vegas shooting, quote, an act of pure evil, unquote. That's what opponents of gun control often say when this happens, as it does with tragic frequency. Their real message is the problem of evil is insoluble, so don't expect the government to solve it. It's God's problem, not ours.
Well, and that's the thing that so many Republicans in Congress were saying today, is
yeah.
that there's nothing we can do about it. They were
bullshit.
Saying there's nothing we can do.
That's
there's so
bullshit.
Much they could do.
There's yeah, there's
so
a
much
lot
they could do.
As is evidenced in England and Canada. So,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And Australia.
And Australia, yes. Okay, so David Frum tweeted, President Trump is telling me about God and scripture.
See? Yep.
And he quotes Trump as saying, it is our love that defines us. And then he says, if we weren't so heartbroken, it would be funny.
That's true.
Oh, my God. John Aravos. Oh, and I'm sorry. Carolyn Coase is just a Twitter pal of mine. She said, quote, I will be visiting Las Vegas on Wednesday, which she said is Trump translation. Thank you for giving me this excuse to get out of Puerto Rico super fast.
Well, there's that.
Yeah, because he blew it today. We will
oh,
definitely get
God.
Into that.
Yes,
I have so
we'll
many
there.
Quotes. Aravosis, yeah, so John Aravosis of America Blog and other things, he says, guns don't kill people. Politicians who make it easy to buy guns kill people.
Hmm. Well, that's true. You know, I was hearing that last night, or was it this morning? When was it? When did I go to the dentist? Yesterday. I had a mm-hmm. dental, I'm still, you know, in the midst of getting my crown.
Oh, still, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, it goes on for a while. I was hearing that argument driving home last night is when it was after the dentist appointment. And, you know, guns, this is the only time you hear that. Well, guns don't kill people. It's people who have guns who kill people. Well, the same thing is, you know, with a car. Cars don't kill people, but irresponsible drivers behind the wheel of cars kill people. You know, none of these inanimate objects kill people. It's always the human being behind the wheel or at the controls who actually does the killing. Why do they only use that when it comes to guns?
And guns are intended to kill people.
That's their only use. Is to kill.
Exactly.
They're killing
machines.
Cars
are not.
That's
cars are not intended to kill people. They are highly regulated and people have to have licenses. So, you know, we have to compare apples to apples, and they keep forgetting to do that as they're being pro-life, right? As these self-righteous jerks are pounding their chests with how pro-life they are, and then they defend using AK-15s or 47s or whatever the hell, I don't even know what they're called. These, you know, basically they're just automatic weapons or semi-automatic.
Well, they're semi-automatic weapons, but yeah. You know, the conjecture is that he bought a kit that allows you to transform a semi-automatic into an automatic weapon that you can get readily on the internet fairly easily and inexpensively.
Right. And right now, Dianne Feinstein is trying to get a bill passed to stop that.
Good luck.
I believe that's what she's trying. Yeah, I know. Okay. So D.L. Hughley said, to the gun lobby, mass shootings aren't tragedies. They are sales brochures.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a good one. I should put that up somewhere. I don't know where. But anyway, Chuck Grassley, praying for the victims plus their families of the Las Vegas shooting, to which Duncan Smith, a sports writer, replied, Chuck Grassley took $9,900 from the NRA in 2016, which is $145 per character in this tweet, praying for victims and their families.
Okay.
That kind of put it into perspective.
That does, yes. And if you go to opensecrets.org, and you can find, or just search, how much money did congressmen get from the NRA, and click on the Open Secrets link, you can see how much each of them took in any election cycle from the NRA, and it'll make your head spin.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy how much money they've paid off. David Korn of The Nation and
Mother
and
Jones.
TV and
Mother Jones.
Mother Jones. I always do that.
Okay.
I'm so terrible at remembering where they're from. Anyway, he said a couple of things. Trump doesn't even pretend to see gun massacres as a problem. This is the price of the GOP being owned by the NRA and gun manufacturers. And then he goes on to say, 50 plus dead in Las Vegas, thousands without food and water in Puerto Rico, 9 million children about to lose health care insurance. MAGA, huh?
Yeah. And 9 million did. You know, last Friday is when the Children's Health Insurance Program expired. It ran out. Now, each state still has money in the fund because Allison, my daughter, is still on CHIP until her 19th birthday. I haven't gotten a notice saying all of a sudden she doesn't have insurance. I think it runs until the money runs out, but there's no more money there. So once the money runs out, stay in the state of Florida for the Children's Health Insurance Program, she's not covered anymore. Now, allegedly, they're going to take it up this week, maybe. But this shows how irresponsible this Republican-led Congress is. They were so busy trying to take health care away from the rest of us that they let the Children's Health Insurance Program expire.
Again, they claim to be pro-life, but you know, and as I always say, people, I really get tired of people saying, no, but see, they're pro-fetus. No, they're not. They're not pro-fetus if they cut funding for programs for health. And food and other poverty programs for women
and Medicaid.
Who are pregnant.
Right. Most pregnancies, I believe, if I remember correctly, are covered by Medicaid.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go. All right. So Richard Allen Smith, who, by the way, he was on the Last Word the other night.
Okay.
Yeah, he was very good. He said, if you aren't talking about gun politics today, you're aiding tomorrow's massacre.
Oh, but it's too soon. Wait.
It's too soon.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders says, hold on, it's premature.
Sarah, many times when these horrible massacres occur, it leads to questions about gun control. Has this particular massacre made the president think anything more about pursuing tighter gun laws, such as background checks, to prevent massacres like this from happening again?
Look, this is an unspeakable tragedy. Today is a day for consoling the survivors and mourning those we lost.
Really?
Our thoughts and prayers are certainly with all of those individuals.
Uh-huh.
There's a time and place for a political debate, but now is the time to unite as a country. There's currently an open and ongoing law enforcement investigation. A motive is yet to be determined, and it would be premature for us to discuss policy when we don't fully know all the facts or what took place last night.
Yeah, it's premature.
Well, the problem with that is that there are mass shootings going on almost every day that people don't even talk about. So if you wait to talk about them, you will never talk about them because they happen all the time.
Yes. Exactly. And I've
ridiculous.
Got another one, too. Today's not the day to talk policy. It's for reflection.
Oh, please.
Yeah, right.
That's just, that's a way of just saying we're never going to talk about it and mm-hmm. sweep it under the rug. And, oh, boy. All right. So Daniel Dale of the Toronto Star, got that one right. He said, he's quoting
Sanders
saying now is not the time to talk. There will be no conversations other than to get detained Americans back or
but
something like that.
He was talking
about North Korea,
and I have that clip
right.
as well. Because
Good.
Not
okay.
only was it not the time to talk about gun policy, it's not the time to talk about North Korea. Really?
Right.
Really?
Here. Sarah, thank you. And following up on the tweets about the DPRK over the weekend, the president tweeted, save your energy, Rex. We'll do what has to be done. So is it the stated position of the White House that you're trying to get back to talks, or have you given up?
No, this is, we've been clear that now is not the time to talk. The only
really?
Conversations that have taken place or that would be on bringing back Americans who have been detained like that with Otto. Those were the type of conversations that this administration was willing to have. Beyond that, there will be no conversations with North Korea at this time.
Oh, my God.
There are three Americans still detained in North Korea.
Lines of communication with Pyongyang, that's what you're primarily using for. You're not using it to try to get...
That would be the only reason for us to have conversations with them at this time.
Not to avoid nuclear war.
No.
We have nothing to talk to them about. Now's not the time to talk to North Korea, except to get these three Americans back. Really?
And so then Daniel Dale went on to say, why did Trump talk travel ban if now is not the time to talk policy? And Sanders said, there's a difference between being a candidate and being president. And then he goes on, Daniel Dale says, great question, notes that Trump talked policy after other massacres like Orlando's, pushing his travel ban.
And so, by the way, Daniel Dale was then blocked by Donald Trump.
No, really?
Yes, really.
My God.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. Ari Berman, who I just love. He writes for The Nation, right?
Not anymore. He actually left The Nation and went to Mother Jones.
Okay. So anyway, he wrote, he tweeted rather, 33,000 gun deaths a year in the United States. Don't talk about guns, in quotes.
Mm-hmm.
31 cases of voter impersonation since 2000. Voter fraud, in quotes.
Right,
so,
right.
Again, the hypocrisy.
Yeah,
and then to that, LOL GOP added, I rely on people who yell at hurricane victims to let me know how proper decorum works.
Hey, did you hear LOL GOP was on the show the other day?
No!
Yes, last week he was on.
Oh man! How did I miss that?
He had written an editorial in the USA Today that I happened to read. It was about how much more should the rich pay in taxes? Was sort of the headline, the headline caught my interest, and I read it, and it was a good piece. And then I saw his name. I honestly don't remember what his real name is, but it says AKA at LOLGOP on Twitter. It's like, oh my God. So he follows me. So I tweeted to him and invited him on, and he came on.
Yeah. He's one of my faves. We follow each other. And I got to tell you, if he ever retweets you, which I bet he has, it never stops. You just keep seeing how many people have followed his lead in these retweets. He is very influential. So I am real glad you had him on.
Yeah, he was great. He was very good.
I bet he was. I'll have to go back and listen to that one. So Matt Pierce of the LA Times, that I know, he tweeted, "The perversity of showing videos of mass shootings on TV where they bleep out the curse words, but not the sounds of screams or gunshots."
I got to tell you, it is perverse. It's obscene where, you know, they always have some video playing in the background and the
yeah,
of the gunshots constantly. It's like, turn that shit off. Mm-hmm. And I even heard one of the victims being interviewed saying, "I can hear that in the background." And I had to, you know, we came home the other night. I had to turn off the television because of the sound. It's unbelievable that they're playing that like on an endless loop.
Yeah, they glorify it. It's just, I really don't like the coverage. I mean, yes, cover it, but do it professionally. Do it with some sensitivity behind it.
Right.
Anywho, I'm going to get this wrong. The pronunciation, Michael Jollette.
Michael, probably. All it's right. just a different spelling of it, but Michael Jollette.
Okay.
But it could be Michael, I guess.
Whatever. Anyway, he's singer guitarist on fundamentalist logic. All right. Okay. This is another little short thread that's terrific. He starts by saying, "Republicans, this is a mental health issue. So shouldn't we fund health care for mentally ill? Republicans, oh God, no. Republicans, this is a mental health issue. So should, oh, did I just do this twice? Oh, no. So shouldn't we make sure mentally ills can't get guns? Republicans, this is a freedom issue. Republicans, this is a freedom issue. What about freedom of people who don't want to get shot? Republicans, this is a Second Amendment issue. Okay, so Republicans, this is a Second Amendment issue. Didn't the NRA create that hoax? Republicans, stop politicizing this. Mm-hmm. Republicans, don't politicize gun violence. Well, how is it political to want to not be shot? Republicans, this is a mental health issue."
Ah!
See what he did there?
I saw what he did
not
there.
He's dumb. He's a smarty pants. All right. So I've got a whole bunch. I have one
on the gun thing from the Deserina. The Deserina, who is a writer, and she tweeted, "The GOP insists that the Vegas shooter's gun arsenal is a right, but medical treatment for his 500 plus survivors is merely a privilege."
There you go.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Okay. Pussy Riot tweeted a Gloria Steinem quote here. It's kind of like a little paragraph. "I want any young men who buy a gun to be treated like young women who seek an abortion. Think about it. A mandatory 48-hour waiting period, mm-hmm. written permission from a parent or judge, a note from a doctor proving that he understands what he's about to do, time spent watching a video on individual and mass murders, traveling hundreds of miles at his own expense to the nearest gun shop, and walking through protesters holding photos of loved ones killed by guns, ooh, protester who call him a murderer."
I like that.
That was good. That was really well thought out.
Sounds like they got 280 characters.
Yeah. No, this was a screen grab.
Right.
So I don't remember. Oh, somebody, I put that out, and a troll said, "Oh, killing babies, you know, that's okay with you." And I said, "Abortion doesn't kill babies. Babies have already been born. Guns kill people who have been born."
Mm-hmm.
So shut up. Okay, so Kibble Smith, who happens to be a Colbert writer, he said, "Sorry to get political on here, but people shouldn't be murdered."
Okay.
That about sums it up.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Let's see. I already did that one. So our buddy Jeff Tiedrick, see, he tweeted out, "America, where you have the right to be shot while attending a concert, but don't have the right to medical treatment afterwards," which is what you were saying.
Yeah.
And that's basically their definition of freedom and pro-life is what Jeff said. That's what they live by.
Right. You have the freedom to get shot, but, you know, not necessarily to get treated once you are shot. You know, there's all these GoFundMe accounts now that have been set up to help the survivors with the medical bills, because that's something that a lot of people aren't talking about, is the medical bills that now they're going to have following them around, some of them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. Oh, God. Not even it's overwhelming. All of this is overwhelming to think about.
Meanwhile, Trump is in Puerto Rico. Should we move on to some of those?
Yes, I've got that all set up. One person tweeted, and this was confirmed by a bunch of people because I said, is this for real? He was shaking Puerto Rican victims' hands saying, have a good time.
I have that audio.
He's good.
Talking to this husband and wife. And here.
We have a good house.
In the meantime, here you are. Right?
Exactly.
We're going to help you out.
Thank you.
Have a good time.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Thank you
very much. Great to see you.
We're going to help you out. Meanwhile, have a good time.
Unbelievable.
He said that in Houston, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly. Then he was there's a photo that was put out by Justin Sink, who writes for Bloomberg. And the photo is Trump in the crowd speaking, you know, doing his thing, doing the photo op there in Puerto Rico, saying in the tweet, Trump throwing rolls of paper towels into the crowd at chapel.
I saw it.
A lot of love in this room, he says.
Oh, my God. He was throwing. There were a bunch of people there. This was after the thing in the airport where he had all the officials there, and it was like that cabinet meeting where everyone had to tell him how much they adore
yes,
him.
I have tweets on that. Okay. Definitely, yes.
So there he is among people. And they're in a place, I guess, where they're handing out supplies. And so Trump starts throwing into the crowd rolls of paper towels at people. It wasn't just one. He tossed like four or five of them. It was embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. And Katie Turr, she put up a screen grab of the pool report.
Yes.
And it says, Trump, still wearing his windbreaker, shook hands with an enthusiastic crowd along with the First Lady and the Governor. He picked up a can of tinned chicken breasts and held it aloft for the crowd to see. He handed one man in the crowd a pack of batteries. Many in the crowd were holding their cell phones up. He held up a flashlight and showed it to the crowd, shaking hands the whole time. The First Lady closely followed behind. Trump kept picking up items from the table laden with supplies, showing them to the crowd and handing them to people with outstretched hands. He moved to a pile of yellow bags containing rice and handed them to whoever was nearest. He tossed rolls of paper towels into the crowd. Two were caught, but one fell onto the carpet. The First Lady was handing out a small boxed solar panel. I'm not sure what that is. Off to the side of the room, John Kelly conferred in quiet tones with Brock Long. The tape will be dropped at the airport for Fox.
Oh, boy.
LOL GOP tweeted. Okay, so John Stanton tweeted, he's a journalist. Your weather is second to none is something the President of the United States decided was a good thing to say to starving Puerto Ricans. And then LOL GOP answered, he's going to praise the shooting ranges when he visits Nevada.
Oh, God. Your weather is second to none, he said?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
After a hurricane. Destroyed them. Your weather is second to none.
Okay. He said a lot of stupid things today in Puerto Rico.
Just embarrassing. Christina Wilkie, who writes for HuffPo. Wait, let me just block a call. Okay. She said Trump praises Puerto Rico on the low number of deaths.
Okay.
You can be very proud. Only 16 versus thousands in Katrina. He said, which was a real catastrophe.
I have this audio too.
So
this is he's got a square table, and he's got, first of all, he's going around the table introducing his, you know, for whatever reason, Linda McMahon, her small business administrator, what's his name? The head of the budget department and everything. So here, and then he's talking to the governor of Puerto Rico. So here's what he said.
Every death is a horror. But if you look at a real catastrophe like Katrina, and you look at the tremendous hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that died, and you look at what happened here with really a storm that was just totally overpowering. Nobody's ever seen anything like this. And what is your death count as of this moment? 17?
16 certified.
16 people certified. 16 people versus in the thousands. You can be very proud of all of your people, all of our people working together. 16 versus literally thousands of people. You can be very proud. Everybody around this table and everybody watching can really be very proud of what's taken place.
It's not over yet, you orange doofus asshole. God.
Oh, he's unbelievable. And Kathleen Decker went along and was saying what you were saying. So far, the entirety of the Trump event in Puerto Rico has been congratulating the United States on mm-hmm. its response to Hurricane and calling on people to second him. It was just like that roundtable thing where all his cabinet
That's
members
it.
had to compliment him. And
you know, at one point, he did, before the sit-down part of it, you see him shaking the hand of the San Juan mayor, Carmen Yula Cruz. And she said to him, Mr. President, this was not political. And he just ignored her and, like, looked up and looked away and moved on. He went around that table. He invited everyone up to speak. The person from the Coast Guard, from the Air Force, from the Marines.
Everyone.
Went around and just totally ignored her.
Exactly. And then he specifically, in response to what you just said, praised the governor and said he didn't play politics. He told it like it was,
yes.
gave us the highest marks.
Right. Because that's all Oy. It is with him. As long as you're nice to him, as long as you treat him well, you know, he'll be nice to you. But and she wasn't even calling him out. She was calling out that the relief materials weren't getting supplies to the people who need them.
Right, right. He then said, "Sorry to tell you this, Puerto Rico, but you've thrown our budget off a little."
Here you go.
Mick Mulvaney is here, right there, and Mick is in charge of a thing called budget. Now, I hate to tell you, Puerto Rico, but you've thrown our budget a little out of whack, because we've spent a lot of money on Puerto Rico, and that's fine. We've saved a lot of lives.
He's too much. Did he say
it's ridiculous.
Texas and Florida have thrown his budget out of whack? Did he say that his travel to all of his golf properties has thrown the budget out of whack?
Or Price's travel?
Yeah.
Or all the other three cabinet members other than Price who were traveling and costing us a bundle. He also felt it necessary at this little ego rally to get everyone to praise him. And then he had the nerve to say, but this isn't about me.
He said that.
He actually said that. That was my tweet. I actually live tweeted that. He was
that
doing
one.
A whole. Oh, and then he also said to Elaine Duke, who was the one from the Health and Human Services, to say this was a good news story.
Yes.
He said he was, like, basically doing a heck of a job brownie with her, telling her how great she was.
Well, Sam Stein tweeted, "Trump's speech just now would be like if Bush told Brownie he was doing a heck of a job and then kept saying it for 20 minutes. And then Digby retweeted
yes.
that and said, and he's Brownie.
Yes, exactly. Oh, my God. Okay, so I've got three new topics, three
okay.
new little
Ooh.
Stories here.
Okay.
One is that Jared and Ivanka's private addresses were hosted on a Trump Organization server, a private server.
Yes.
And Elizabeth de la Vega, who is, like, one of my new favorite Twitter pals, who is a lawyer, who was a federal prosecutor and knows her stuff like crazy. Her bio talks about author U.S. versus Bush, pro bono stuff, Stanford Law School, you name it. She said about this excellent piece, "To clarify, private email addresses used by Jared and Ivanka after the election," remember, after Hillary's whole email thing was used to win this election.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so while they were in the White House, were hosted on a Trump Organization server.
Right.
So that's a kind of a big deal.
That is a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, it's one, it's two little scandals in one. One is the actual server scandal, and the other is how they played up Hillary to win the election, and then knowingly, after they hypocritically called her out, did the same thing. So, it's enough to make you nuts. All right. Today, the United States voted against a UN resolution condemning gay sex death penalty, joining Iraq and Saudi Arabia.
Wait.
America was one of 13 countries to oppose. Okay, well, the U.S. is just one of, this is from The Independent. The U.S. is just one of 13 countries to have voted against a UN resolution condemning the death penalty for having gay sex.
That is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
They join, there are currently six countries where the death, where's my 13 countries? Here it is. The 13 states to oppose the resolution were the U.S., Botswana, Burundi, Egypt, Ethiopia, Bangladesh, China, India, Iraq, Japan, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates.
Japan.
We were among them.
I'm surprised Japan was in there.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, you know, yeah. And finally, here's a story for you. Pence's chief of staff floats purge of anti-Trump Republicans to wealthy donors. He was in a donor meeting, and he urged them to form a coalition to take on GOP leaders and members who don't back the president. This is from Politico. And then he also said, I got to find this. He was talking about how they would be shellacked if they didn't do this, and I can't find the quote. Darn. I'm on my phone doing this, so I can't find I can't highlight it the way I want to. It kept going away. Here it is. In remarks to the RNC event at the St. Regis in Washington on Tuesday morning, Nick Ayers also warned that Republicans are, quote, on track to get shellacked in next year's midterm elections if the GOP lawmakers don't pass Trump's legislative priorities.
Well, they are. And I hope they can't. You know, Stephanie Kelton, the great economist, is going to be on with us on Friday. And so we'll talk about Trump's tax plan. But this is not looking like it's on track to go anywhere. In fact, I hope I'm knocking on wood laminate because it does so much bad stuff. They've lied to us about every aspect of it. The fact that, you know, it doesn't help the middle class or lower income people at all. It provides huge tax cuts for the very wealthy. It benefits
Trump. And it's a
Trump.
Huge deficit blower upper.
That's right. And Republicans only care about that when Democrats are in power.
You know, they admitted to that. There was a story out a few days ago that actually said, yeah, we just use that as a talking point.
I saw that. It was somebody said that. I can't remember who it was, though.
I can't remember either. It was one of those stories that, you know, I read it as it flew by, and then I totally forgot about it until just now.
Yep.
But, so Pence's chief of staff is basically pulling a Bannon and saying, you know, let's get rid of all the people in Congress who don't agree with us. They're such lovely people.
They are. This is what they do, though. This is what they do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Their party is sort of imploding. And in a way, you know, we applaud that. Like, yay, get rid of everybody. But what's emerging is as scary as hell. I mean, look what's happening all over the world now with far-right Nazi-oriented parties infiltrating all the governments.
Yeah.
All the legislatures.
You have Roy Moore. Winning the primary in Alabama. I mean, he very likely could be the next U.S. senator. Jones looks like a good candidate, but it's tough for a Democrat to win in Alabama.
Right. He is within striking distance. I think he's 14 points back now, which is better than he could be at this point. So, I donated.
Good for you.
I do that when I can. Not very much. I don't have that much to donate right now. But, I mean, we have to try. And the guy running against Paul Ryan, what's his name?
Iron Stash, Randy Bryce.
Yeah. I think I've donated to him, too. I mean, that would be just lovely to get rid of Paul Ryan.
He's great. And we've still got a ways to go on that. The Senate race in Alabama, that comes up, and I think it's December 12th is election day for that race.
Yeah.
The congressional races, you know, because that's a special election. The congressional races are all, they're a year and, a year and a month away. I can't believe it's October 3rd already.
I know. I can't. Well, I walked into some store yesterday and all the Christmas decorations are up.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the law was they have to wait until after. It used to be after Thanksgiving.
Oh, no way.
Then it was they have to wait till after Halloween. Now it's before Halloween. How can they
do that? Oh, yeah. Definitely before Halloween. Oh, absolutely. And same on I've seen some TV things sort of Christmas oriented, too. Whether they be ads or I know on the shopping channels when I flip by, I see Christmas trees in the background now.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's too early for that.
Happy Hanukkah!
Huh. When is Hanukkah this year? Do we know?
I have no idea.
Hey, we just passed the Jewish holidays, the high holy days.
That's right.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Good Yuntif or whatever.
Let's get drunk.
I don't know if it's that or that's what you say on Passover. I'm so bad. I don't know.
I don't know. You and I are the same type of Jews. We like, you know,
bad
we're loyal.
Jew. Bad Jew.
Yeah,
but that's
really
over. That's over now. So we know it's fall. Anyway, with that, we hear the music. We know that our time is rapidly coming to a close. Gotta Laugh. Find her on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh, GOTTALAFF. And here with me every Tuesday on the show.
Every Tuesday.
And yes, still live from 3 to 4 Eastern, 12 to 1 Pacific at NicoleSandler.com. And we're heard from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern now on the Progressive Voices Network. All right, Gotta Laugh. Thank you, as always.
I will talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
Bye-bye.
All right, and I'll see you tomorrow right here back on The Nicole Sandler Show.